Dan, people love your turtleneck.
You know what? Sometimes you got to step out. And we have a lovely lady in Toronto, Deb Berman, that's in charge of most of the wardrobe. And she asked if I would. And I said, I'd give it one shot. And she goes, prepare for the backlash. I can take it. I mean, look at my hair over the years. I'm fully prepared for anything people can throw at me.
That's good. You look like a younger, fitter version of Bobby Goulet. It was good. I thought it was good.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you can't. I was hoping, like I tried it like 3 weeks ago or a month ago, and I was hoping that would hide the double chin, but in fact, it accentuated it.
Mm, it really brought it up. Yeah,
it pushes it up. So I mean, that part backfired a little bit, but I mean, these are the things you live and learn, right?
Well, was it good to be covering a game last night?
It was. You know. It's been, you know, as you guys know, quite some time. And, you know, it's just been so much talk about COVID. All my work over the last few, you know, weeks has been live hits into Hockey Central and Hockey Night and Sportsnet News, just on the latest on the Canucks COVID situation. And so it was nice to, you know, to watch some hockey, to see some hockey, to talk about stuff that was going on in the game. Now, of course, you know, still the major storyline with this team last night was coming out of this COVID outbreak, the variant outbreak that just ripped through the team. And I suspect that will be right to the end of the season, but at least we get to, talk about the accompanying games that go with it. And, you know, I was impressed last night. It looked, the first 5-7 minutes looked tough. I thought it was going to be, a long night like everybody expected. And I suppose in a sense it was. I mean, the Leafs dominated. Mm-hmm. They probably should have scored a number of goals, but sometimes the hockey gods are smiling on you and you have to feel good for the players. I mean, I think you saw in their celebrations how much they enjoyed that win, how much they probably wanted that win because it felt like more than just 2 points last night.
What are the stakes for the rest of the season?
Oh, man, it's so hard to say. Like, I think the stakes for, you know, individual players are kind of the same. Guys that, you know, when they get in the lineup now, like Highmore and Bowie, want to prove to this organization they could be part of the solution going forward. Mm-hmm. For some players, it's making sure they're healthy. And I would say Pearson and maybe Pettersson. For the organization as a whole, it's so hard to say because I don't know where Benning is at with this ownership group. And clearly the coach is not on solid footing because right. He doesn't have a contract for next year. So these big picture questions, they're kind of tough to answer because we don't know what Aquilini is thinking. For the longest time, my theory was that Green didn't have an extension because the ownership didn't know what they wanted to do with management, and they thought it'd be silly to sign a coach to 3 years and then get rid of the GM, not knowing what the new GM would want to do with Travis Green. And then, you know, a couple weeks back, Friedman was saying he fully expected Benning to be back. And now you're hearing more rumblings that perhaps, some players weren't quite as happy with the way there wasn't as much communication as there should have been over the COVID outbreak. And that, again, from Friedman. So I really have no idea what's at stake, but I would certainly think the stakes are the highest for the general manager and the head coach right now, just considering the way things are.
What do you know about the Pettersson injury? Because the Canucks are being very tight-lipped about this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I would say is that it's probably a good sign that after seeing the specialists, they're not saying he's shut down for the season. That would indicate to me that surgery is not required. And that perhaps it is healing. Now, you know, so many times with these things, they think it's day-to-day, they can't get a good image of it, maybe they're swelling, you wait a little bit, you get it, you notice there's something in there. So I don't know if it was a hairline fracture, I'm not sure what. And in this day and age, when you're not around the rink, you're not down by the dressing room, you don't have a chance to see the guy, you don't have a chance to really talk to him. And not just, you know, I would be picking Pettersson's brain about the injury, but you could see where a guy was in terms of workout and stuff like that. So it's so difficult now to get a read on these things because you're not around them. But I think it would be a good sign that after seeing the specialist, they're saying that their desire is to get him in some games before the end of the season. And, you know, my personal opinion on that is why.
Right.
But again, you're dealing with an athlete that probably really wants to get back to playing. And you're dealing with an organization that Still is not punting on this season, obviously, regardless of how daunting things look. So I would take it overall as a good sign that they haven't ruled him out.
We're speaking to Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Dan, of course, is a presentation of David L. Young of Dexter Realty. Murph, is it fair to assume that there's going to be a fairly significant roster churn over these final 18 games? Because I'm looking at, you look at the time on ice last night, there were four forwards that played less than 10 minutes, including Graevac, who was, I mean, just think about this. A team that hasn't played in 18 days, has a bunch of guys missing, is obviously going to be gassed, and they've got four forwards.
They're
that
playing Tyler Myers back into shape.
Right, Myers played 30 minutes last night. Like, there were, Graevac played four, and I think Michaelis played seven. So I'm looking at this, and I'm saying...
Seven too many.
I'm saying, well, Matthew Highmore's got to be in eventually. Cole Lynn's got to be in eventually. And then Jason brought this up earlier, Jack Rathbone as well, because you look at the time on ice on the blue line last night, and a guy like Breezeball is only playing 11:31. So I suppose if we're looking at things to look for down the stretch, it'll be a lot more guys in, a lot more guys out. We're going to get a look at a lot of different players.
I would agree. But I think we can also take Travis Green at his word when he said that they were in last night's game to win it.
Sure.
When you haven't played in 3.5 weeks and you're shortening your bench that much, and obviously out of necessity on defense with Edler, they were trying to win that game. And you had to feel for Myers at points, you know, in that one shift. I think he had a 2.5 and a 3 minute. It looked like one of those, you know, bubble hockey players, you're just kind of spinning. All he could do was pirouette because he was so tired. He couldn't even move his legs. He was just looking around and waiting for the puck to come in front of the net. I felt bad for him. But, yeah, you know, 30 minutes after what they've gone through was a heck of a night for him. But, I hope we see Cole Lind. Right? I think we need to see Highmore. I want to see Rathbone. I'm looking forward to when Ulevi is ready to go again. I think these, you should be assessing players right now in these times, because the club has always said it's their job to win, but also to develop. And if that is the case, then Mikey DiPietro has to get 2-3 starts, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think so, you know, and I think you owe it to Colin to give him some games. So I sure hope that, you know, things in standings wise are clear right now, but you know,
four games against Ottawa coming up though.
Yeah, there's no question. But I think that if they become almost crystal clear, then these decisions are a little bit easier to make, because I think that, you know, going into next season, you need to know, or you need to have a good idea what you have in some of these players. And if they are, an option. I mean, I think we all agree that the Canucks going into this season, they were banking on Hoglander being able to play.
Right.
And he could. They got lucky a little bit. But this is a chance to see a guy like Lind, to see if you think that he could, in fact, play at this level and handle the minutes in the NHL. So, you know, I hope that we do see some of these young guys, because I think that would be great for the fan base too. I mean, it feels now at this point in the season, you're cheering individual wins like last night just because of what they've gone through. And certainly you'd like to see a few more wins, but I think it's more about developing at this point.
Canucks back in action tomorrow against those same Maple Leafs. Should be an interesting one given what happened last night. Murph, thanks a lot for doing this today, bud. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the games this week. We'll talk again either Friday or Monday.
All right, boys. Have yourself a great day.